Fisher Body Historical Interview with Shelton Tyson. Today is December 21st, 2005. The time is about 9 o'clock a.m. We're at the Jobs Bank. Lead interview, Marilyn Coulter.
Doreen Howard.
John Fiedewa.
Mr. Tyson, can you please say and spell your last name for us?
Shelton Tyson, T-Y-S-O-N.
And your address?
824 Vine Street.
And that's in?
Lansing, Michigan.
And you're a male. Are you married, Mr. Tyson?
Yes, I'm married.
And children?
Three daughters, 23, 20, and 17.
Where were you born?
Detroit, Michigan.
And were you also raised in Detroit?
Yes.
Okay. When did you come to Lansing?
1974.
What brought you to Lansing?
School. I had an uncle that was at Michigan State, and I came up for school.
Okay, so now your education, you did some college, I take it? Or
yes, certifications for corrections officer, and still studying criminal justice geared towards juvenile counseling.
And you're taking that where?
Lansing Community College.
Okay. Were there any military background?
No.
Now, what did your parents do?
I was raised by my grandparents. I was raised by my grandparents. My grandfather owned a restaurant and a furniture store, and my grandmother was a domestic worker.
Okay, great. What did you do before you hired at Fisher Body?
I worked for United Parcel Services for 4 years.
4 years, and you delivered packages?
I was considered a pre-sorter, maintenance person that washed and fueled vehicles.
What year did you hire into Fisher Body?
November 19th of 1984.
Why did you hire into Fisher Body?
The opportunity for benefits for my family and myself.
So, how did you know that they were hiring?
Word of mouth, friends that had found out that they were going to be taking applications.
So what was your process that you had to go through?
I went up to the unemployment office on Cedar, I believe, and got in line and put in an application.
How long did you have to stand in line? Were there a lot of people?
Oh, yeah, lots of people, and I actually probably stood in line maybe 6 hours.
6 hours. How long did it take you to find out that you had a job there?
Probably 24 hours.
24 hours. And so what was your process once they contacted you?
I went in and took a physical and went from there.
How old were you at the time?
24.
So once you came in, what department and shift did you hire in?
I started in metal finish, body shop, first shift.
So what was your first, how did you feel? I mean, what did you feel when you first walked in the plant?
I had grew up around General Motors factories in Detroit, and I had always said that I wouldn't work in a factory, but once I walked into one, officially as an employee, it was a good feeling.
What did you think of the body shop with all the metal?
I was amazed of the setup and how safe it was considering the equipment and the material that you're around every day.
So, how did they give you your job selection?
We did a little training period, and the supervisor got to know, you know, the individuals that were placed in his area. He was an old school supervisor, Charlie Pomley. And I ended up being a relief person for him. And he explained to me that the selection of me becoming a relief person for him was based on my job experience and my dedication to my previous job.
Can you tell me what is a utility person?
A utility person, well, actually a relief person is where I started. Relief person went around and gave fellow employees breaks of 15, 20 minutes, two, three different times a day, for them to, you know, do what they needed to do to eat and use the restrooms or just to rest.
Now, isn't a relief job considered a preferential job?
Yes.
And how did your coworkers that may have had more time than you take to you being a young person coming in, fresh off the street, getting a relief job?
Great question. And it was a lot of animosity towards myself and the supervisor for that choice that he made and putting me in that position. But over time, coworkers understood where he was coming from and trying to fit the individuals to particular jobs.
Doreen, did you have a question?
Yes, Doreen Howard. You touched base on the body shop. What was the surroundings like in there? When you got into there, what was the physical surroundings of the body shop? What was the size and what was some of the things that you saw as a new employee coming in there?
It was a large, very large area, set up very nicely, although it was an old facility. Just all the metal in itself in the body shop was amazing to me, but it was a great area, great supervision, good management. I was kind of blessed that I ended up in that area first.
Also, you touched base on your supervisor, your first supervisor. You talked about him as being an old-school supervisor. What's an old-school supervisor, and what was some of the things that an old-school supervisor valued versus maybe some of the more up-and-coming supervisors may have done for their areas?
What I mean by old-school, and I say that in a respectful way, nothing negative. He was the individual that expected you to stand up and be accounted for, be on time, have your equipment ready to go, be responsible to yourself and your fellow employees, you know, give respect, get respect. And I just felt from my being raised by my grandparents that that was a good way to be.
So, Shelton, Maryland Culture. Shelton, what was your first day like?
Very exciting. I had a lot of anxiety. Just feeling blessed and grateful to have the job. First day was, you know, getting to meet different people and getting the feel for such a huge facility and the conditions that you would be working under, and understanding what was expected of you. But it was a great experience.
When you came in there, do you remember who the first person that you met, or I should say befriended, of when you came into play?
I had high school friends that were already employed, so I was already familiar with some people that were already established with General Motors, but I did meet some new people that were excited as I was to be part of General Motors family.
Doreen Howard, when you first came in, was there any new hire pranks that were pulled on you, and or did you see anyone else getting pranks pulled on them?
Yeah, you know, and people already knowing each other, they did different things like taking individuals' gloves when they were on break and putting glue in them, and water, or particularly in the grinding booth in the metal finish department, we had to wear what we call space suits, that you received your oxygen through a tube. People would put water in those tubes and reconnect them to you, and you got a shower. So there was some creative things that were done as pranks that we did to one another.
Things to pass the time.
Yeah, get to see how your fellow employees take things, and pass the time and just become closer.
So, for the time that you've been there, have you always worked in the body shop?
No. I've moved around. Body shop, paint, trim, those areas.
Out of those three departments, was there an apartment that you preferred and why?
After being experienced and moving around, I think I would prefer the body shop metal finish.
Okay, out of those three departments that you worked in, would you say that the culture of the people was primarily the same in each department, or was there a difference? And if so, what was that difference?
I think in the body shop, you had more individuals that were more sturdy and rugged, if I may, where in paint and trim, it was more finesse and laid back.
When you say laid back, what do you mean?
In paint and trim, I think some of the jobs and the setups, people adapted to how they could not really have to be physically demanding. So it wasn't a lot of stress or pressure on the body, so to speak. So they were kind of like relaxed jobs, so the people were kind of relaxed.
So when you worked in those departments, what types of things did you do for lunch and breaks?
Sometime I would go out for air and visit the bar and get food or, you know, have a beverage. Just have the family come up and sit in the car and chit-chat, see how the kids are doing for a minute. Read newspapers, magazines, talk with fellow workers.
So I know that there were a couple of establishments around Fisher Body. Was there one in particular? Or I know that there was a Gus's, there was an Irish pub. Was yours Harry's?
From being in different departments over different periods of time in my 21 years there, I've frequented both of Harry's and Gus's.
And now you said that you also had your family come up. Now, were you working day shift at that time or night shift?
Shift didn't matter. Whatever shift I was on, there would be at least a couple of days out the week that, you know, once the wife did take the buyout and leave General Motors, she would bring the kids and herself up to visit me.
So, now you said once you left General Motors, did you meet your wife there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So,
let's hear about it.
So how did you meet your wife?
Through a mutual friend that I had known before myself and her hired into General Motors, and she was dating my roommate. And her and my wife now were co-workers in trim department.
Oh, so you were in body shop and she was in trim?
Yes.
And so you met there and...
We actually met at Gus's.
You met at Gus's?
Yeah.
So how did that work? Did you go up to trim shop from the body shop or on the outside?
Yeah, once we met on my breaks and lunch, when we both were still working there, when she was still there, I would go up and visit her or she would come down and visit me.
How long would it take you to get from, was it a long walk?
Yeah, it was pretty long and there was, you know, safety-wise, supposed to be no running allowed, but I had to run.
So you ran the meter. Was it difficult having and sustaining a relationship with a coworker?
I think it was helpful, but yet still difficult in some ways. I think it was helpful that she understood the intangibles of having a factory lifestyle. So I think that was a plus. But on the other hand, the two of us being away from the children all at once was a challenge.
And when you say it was a challenge, what do you mean by that?
We're both family-oriented people, and neither one of us was comfortable about leaving kids at home without either one of us during the nighttime, which is prime time for family to be together, you know, after school, after your 9 to 5. So that was a challenge.
So how long did it, was it a challenge before your wife left General Motors?
She stayed 7 years, took the buyout. I think it was seven, maybe five. But she ended up taking the buyout and became at home mom for a couple years, and then got in with the city of Lansing and the Lansing School District.
Doreen Howard, as a working couple here, you talked about some of the challenges that you were faced with, both of you being employed. What were some of those challenges that you had to overcome? And you know, did you work opposite shifts? How did you manage the family aspect?
While we both were still working and working nights, my mother-in-law babysat the children because we felt we needed to have a family member do it for those hours, and that it would be better off for all. We would be more relaxed about a family member that we trusted doing it. Just the overall lifestyle of being a factory employee and being on nights, you had challenges such as substances being a way of life for most of your coworkers or yourself. And if you didn't indulge before you got there, you may have dibbled and dabbled while you were there. So that was a challenge. And both of us were able to successfully control that and not let it get to the point of rehab or any of that. Challenge of getting the kids to understand that mom and dad loved them, but yet we still had to work to provide for them. The education of trying to learn on the job about people and life and just different things that come with the lifestyle of being a factory worker. And I wouldn't trade the experience for anything.
Well, Daryl Coulter, what were some of the things that you would say that you learned about people?
In learning about people in this area of work and life, I learned that General Motors and BOC Fisher Body particularly had a good attitude about caring for one another and helping one another and doing the best that we could on any level to all be successful.
Doreen Howard, touching base on having coworkers impact you and your family in the way that they did, what is some of the things that you did during work as like a work family? Were you involved with any of the dinners or collections for different organizations, or what type of things did you do during your lunch hours or anything like that on a personal basis with your coworkers?
We both would contribute to the United Way every year. We're both pretty active in the neighborhoods. As far as things at work, like the coat drives or food bank drives and things of that nature, or any donations that were asked of us, we would always try to contribute. And the other question was?
As far as, like, during your lunch times, you said sometimes you would go out and have drinks. Did you ever do anything in the plant? I know a lot of people would play cards and socialize at lunch times. Were you ever involved in any of the other activities that people would do during the lunch times?
Yes. Fortunately, we had a basketball court up in paint. When I was in body and trim, if I had the time, I would go up to paint and shoot baskets, or when I worked in paint, I would. There was days you played cards, you know, winter weather, you stayed in if you didn't want fresh air, didn't have the visitors come up, the family come up. Chess, checkers, arts and crafts, just a large variety of things in which, you know, people were creative about either having already there or bringing in to enjoy your time away from home.
What types of arts did you do, Shelton?
Drawings or colors of, trying to think of the particular name that they call this, but it's like drawings of different things and you just color code and fill them in.
Oh, okay. Like toll painting or that line?
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
So those were really nice. It was simple to just have your colors and know what went where, and you just sit down and do it, and you know, the kids got a kick out of that if I did them at work and brought them home. Well, how you have time to do this? You know, you said you were working.
So, what are some of the things that you did to pass your time while you worked? Did you read? Did you listen to music? What types of things did you do?
Basically, my thing to pass time was conversation, to learn about my coworkers and have them teach me things that they were interested in that I didn't know, or vice versa. Talk about sports, talk about school, talk about politics, raising children, marriage.
So what would you say was one of the most interesting things that you learned while you were working there from a coworker?
One of the most interesting things that I learned from a coworker while working there, that females were able to do as good or a better job as the males and still had the energy, the strength, and the intelligence to raise children also. I mean, I was really amazed. I would go home and sleep, and my wife would get kids up for school. And she would be able to still come back in and do a 9-10 hour shift. And I would be complaining that I'm tired, and she would be like, "That's pitiful. I'm raising children and getting up in the middle of the night with a baby, and I'm still doing the same hours you're doing. So if you're tired, what do you think I am?" So that was one of the things that I learned about coworkers and from coworkers, is that a lot of individuals, especially the females in this field of employment, are very strong, will-minded, dedicated individuals.
Now, outside of your wife, did you have other coworkers that impacted your life and affected your life outside of the plant? Did you have friendships that extended outside of the plant?
Yes, like I said, some before I went in that were already established, some that were established there and still real close to the same people today. Anyone, you know, want names? Or?
Well, if you have some people that you became particularly close to.
Marilyn Coulter, Charmaine Price, Craig Johnson, Craig Sanders. There's quite a few people. I don't know if a lot of people will remember some of the older gentlemen, but Kirk Young and
So Kirk Young, the one he was also considered Body Shop Kirk?
He was considered Body Shop Kirk, but he worked in trim as a door hood and trunk adjuster.
Now, he was one who retired many years ago with, I believe it was 36 years of employment. Can you tell me something that a man who was old enough to be your father at the time, or grandfather actually, might have, how he impacted your life?
With Mr. Young, and I don't want to get emotional here, he's now deceased, but my relationship with him started outside the plant. When I moved here from Detroit, he didn't stay too far from me. A couple doors maybe and around the corner. I went to school with his children, but from a work ethic standpoint, I took notice how a single father was raising a large number of children, I believe 7 or 8, and still was able to do a 9, 10, 11 hour shift at General Motors and didn't miss a day for many years. And I observed that as a teenager, and when my opportunity came to be employed with Fisher Body, and was able to actually go and see him do his job performance and talk to him, like you said earlier, father figure, grandfather figure, that, you know, not only taught me things outside work, but took me under his wing and taught me things inside work about the lifestyle and the culture of a factory employee.
As a factory employee, what's one of the biggest things that he impacted you on?
Being the best at your job, being the most dependent upon person possible. You know, he taught me that if your supervisors had no worry about you being to work or being healthy to do your job, or not having personal issues that you brought in the plant, then you would have a very successful career and very few bumps along the way.
Just for the record, Kurt Young was known as Body Shop Kurt. He was a repairman, and he worked 36 years in the plant, and he never took a sick day or vacation. And that was one of the things that they had put in our implant newspaper at the time, because he was one of the first persons that they said had never been sick and never took a vacation in 36 years.
Wow.
Can
you imagine that?
That's a lot.
Doreen Howard. During your time at Fisher Body, what were some of the significant changes that you saw happen within the facility? What changes did that, as far as like supervisors or maybe women in the workplace, minorities in the workplace, what changes did you see, and how did they impact you?
Going back to how strong a lot of the females in this field are and were, those were changes for me to see. And from 84 up to now, there's still a lot of positives of those changes that I'm still seeing. Just the impact of such a possibility of having a good job, of the positive impact it's had on families. Those are few.
As a minority male in the facility, did that ever affect any of your work history in any way?
No. I think I was given a fair opportunity to be an individual and either put up or shut up, keep a job or get to stepping.
When you were there, did you ever have any, what was called, a government job done for you? Did a skilled trade person ever do something special for you to make your job better, make anything for you?
In terms of...
might be a toolbox, might be whatever.
I've had some skilled trades people who have, Mr. Bob Sanford... Mr. Stanton, I'm trying to think of his first name, but Stanton, Levon Stanton. Those are just two individuals that contribute to, being on skilled trades and making toolboxes or whatnot that I could put radios in or pop or my own personal stuff just to keep in a certain area close to my workbench.
So was a radio a big part of your night?
Very much so. If I had a radio and I was able to keep myself motivated, It made the night go by faster when I wasn't trying to learn from my coworkers or them from me.
Doreen Howard, you talked about having, for example, Pop. I know there was quite a few people who had businesses within the business. Can you talk about that and the culture behind that in the plant?
Yeah. I ended up being one of those people that experimented with that, of having a little snack shop set up. It was a learning experience, and it wasn't for the money. It was to have things in your area that you enjoy to consume, and to help your coworkers out in that as well. I think beverages and snacks are a big part of our culture within the plant. And, you know, some things are healthy and some things aren't, but you need both.
Were you ever active in your union?
Not as much as I should have been, and I'm ashamed to say that. And I need to be more. But a lot of people in which I'm friends with, good coworkers, good people that I know that are involved, I think if they put the heat to me a little more, I would get involved.
Doreen Howard, early on you talked about some of the benefits and as being one of the reasons why you came to work for Fisher Body, and the benefits that you had and your wife also had in working here. What do you feel was one of the more important benefits and that you received from working here? And you talked about your education. Were you ever able to use the tuition assistance program to help further your education?
Yes. The benefits package in terms of health was my main target, you know, outside of the rate of pay. But with health coverage being an issue in America, that was one of the reasons I opted from UPS to General Motors, a better health coverage package. And with the tuition assistance program and EOP, when you're out here in the job bank, I've taken total advantage of it, and especially the last 2 years that I've been laid off. Previous to that, I did use it some when I was laid off for about 13 months. I used it to get certification for a corrections officer's certification. The EOP program is Employee Opportunity Program for Education. And I think General Motors and our union representatives have gotten together and done a great job of giving the workers an opportunity to do some positive things with their time, to better themselves educational-wise, career-wise, and even on a personal level. To just overall better our lifestyles.
Now, was your wife able to use any of the benefits in as far as education?
No.
I know she was busy having children and quite busy outside already.
Between 9 to 10 hours at the plant and raising children, she felt that was like education enough.
As we come to a close, are there any areas that we haven't touched on that you'd like to speak of?
I think when you mentioned the involvement in the union, as I said earlier, being ashamed of my lack of support of doing more things, I think something needs to be done to kind of force some employees to participate more?
How being someone who is active in the union, how can people, what would you suggest we could do to get people active in the labor movement?
I think if, like, we're into the team build concept, and I think we could take that and use it also in a way of having our employees, like, not only rotate on the job, but when there are certain things that the union needs help with, I think that each group should have to send a member to something in participation with the union whenever and however they need them. And if you do it on the rotation base, everybody gets involved. It's mandatory. And I think from there you would get some people who may not have otherwise even wanted to take an interest in the union, that they would.
One other question. When you hired in, did you have any union awareness classes when you first hired in, or did you come straight into the plant?
Straight into the plant.
So that's probably what the biggest thing happened.
Right, lack of information and how important it is to be involved.
Do you vote in your union elections?
Yes.
That's great. Well,
I guess Doreen Howard, it's, the time has closed on the Fisher plant. Is there any special memory, happy, sad, funny, that you can recall that you would want to share with us?
Sure. Probably 99.9% of my experience at Fisher Body was all good. I was fortunate enough to meet my wife there. Good person, good mother, hard worker. I was also able to meet other individuals and have gotten to know them well. An experience that jumps right out at me. We were on strike one year, and when it was my turn to walk the picket line, at the time my youngest daughter was probably 3, and she wanted to come up and walk with me. So I have pictures of that, and since Fisher Body has closed, I have taken a video camera, and I've gone from the Irish pub up for Linden and filmed the backside of the plant, parking lot, Harry's, the front of the parking lot, all the way around to Michigan and Sexton and Gus's and the Union Hall. One of my more recent fond memories is the year before I got laid off, my first grandchild, a son, a boy, he's 4 now. He would come up, and to this day, he remembers that building, who works there, and what it stands for. So I've taken him back and taken pictures by signs and different things like that, and put in a scrapbook for him.
How does it make you feel knowing that in a very short time, that building's going to be totally gone?
It's devastating. In an emotional way, not just economical. But I was kind of unfortunately prepared for this because earlier in the interview, like I spoke of, I grew up around General Motors factories in Detroit. The Fisher Body plant had built the Cadillac Fleetwood and some other plants there. And when General Motors pulled out, one of those buildings was torn down, and 2 of them are still standing today as eyesores. So I've kind of already seen, you know, and been able to get that emotional feel for what it means, not only to myself personally, but to the community. And it's sad, but yet, you know, if they're going to do something positive to make sure that the safety of the community around it is good, then I'm rolling with the flow.
Doreen Howard, I had one last question. You talked about how General Motors affected you as a young man. What type of vehicles do you drive? Have you ever purchased any of the vehicles that we built here at Fisher Body?
I personally have not purchased a vehicle in which we have built at Fisher Body ourselves. But my very first probably 6 months of being employed with General Motors, probably four of my family members ran out and bought the Buick Skylark and a Grand Am and an Achieva and, you know, things of that nature.
But do you buy General Motors products?
Yes, I I actually collect Cadillac Sevilles, General Motors products. Between the years of 1976 and 79, I currently own six of those. A Chevy 20 conversion van. I just recently purchased a 1999 Cadillac Coutier for my 17-year-old. So I won't drive anything but General Motors vehicles.
Very nice.
And Chevy truck.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for your interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.